Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential. Hey friends, how are you? This is Danny Morrell with the Real Estate Sales Show. As always, I am your host, and I am, you know, I'm always excited, but this time I'm like really excited. And I know I've probably said that 16 times already, but this time I'm telling the truth. I am really, really excited. We have a phenomenal guest with us today. Her name is Brianne Llewellyn, and she is from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Is that correct, Brianne?
You got it.
Awesome. So Brianne, say hello to our loyal guests and listeners, please.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for allowing me to be here today.
And thank you for being here. We're not going to take up too much of your time, but hopefully I believe that this show is going to have an impact on a lot of people. And here is why. Let me grab your attention. It is, as of right now, the 11th of the month. We are in the month of May. Brianne has already taken her 9th listing for the month. And if that's not enough to grab your attention, get this. She works no more than three and a half days a week. Is that true, Brianne?
That is very true, yes.
So that is like outstanding. That is phenomenal. That is stupendous. Let me get my dictionary and look up a couple more words.
I think you well explained it, Danny.
All right, good. So Brianne, and another thing to grab your attention, let's let the listeners know, what was your best closing year ever?
167 deals was my best closing year.
Woo, 167 deals closed. So let's get right into the meat and potatoes. Let's start off with this. How old are you and how long have you been in the business? Because you're on the younger side.
I am. I will be 28 in a couple of months. I got licensed on my 18th birthday, so I'll be selling for 10 years in September.
Awesome. And you know, it's funny. I talk to all of our agents at our brokerage all the time. And I tell them that if you follow the right path, within about, I would say, 7 to 10 years, you should be at 100 closings a year. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You should certainly be within 100 closings a year if you really keep at it for that amount of time.
Awesome. So why don't we do this? First, let's start off with kind of like your timeline. I'd like to know year by year, just give me an idea up until now, how many deals closed? What did you do your first year?
I closed 67 my first year.
Okay, well, hold. Time out. I thought I was good. I closed 30 my first year. You closed 67.
I did.
Awesome. All right, let's keep going. What happened in, say, year number four? What did you do?
I would say year number four, without looking specifically at my numbers, was about 125, 130. I kind of increased every year until I got to 167, and that would have been in 2013. And then I had my daughter in 2014 and took off 3 months and then also went to working 3 days a week. So that year I closed 110 in 2014, and last year was 125, and this year I'm on track for 162.
Awesome. So we're picking up momentum again, right?
Yeah, we're picking up momentum again. You know, working out the system of being here 3 days a week and leaving the rest to my staff. So we're getting it going now where it's running much more like it was when I was here 5 or 6 or 7 days a week.
Awesome. Fantastic. So I've got to know something, okay? You obviously have been ramping up, and if you're at 160, whatever the case may be, 167, 162 this year, the likelihood of you reaching 200 closed deals in a year, I'm sure it's within reach, and I'm sure it's something you're thinking about. Is that correct?
I'm definitely thinking about it.
So talk to me about that, and by when do you think it can happen?
You know, I'm balancing being in Oklahoma. We are typically a smaller price range market, you know, so I am balancing the deals and also raising the income right now. That's really where my focus is. So if I wanted to focus strictly on the deals, really I could probably do 200 deals next year without a whole lot of change. If I want to keep raising my average sales price with the volume of deals I'm doing, I'm realistically probably 3 years away from really being able to be there and have the average commission check that I want to have.
Okay, fantastic. And so what is your average commission check right now?
Right now it's $3,500.
$3,500. Okay, great.
Yeah, I'll make right at $600,000 this year.
Okay, good. Fantastic. So you've got to do way more units to be able to earn like some of the people that you and I know and surround ourselves with. And I think you're taking it even a step further. You're looking to raise that average sales price right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the average sales price here in Oklahoma City is $135,000. And I mean, you can get a nice three bed, two bath, two car garage home. I mean, that's a pretty standard house, you know, $135,000 to $150,000 here. So right now my average sales price is right at $175,000, which is above, you know, what's normal. It's a constant balancing act here between having too much inventory in the high end and having stuff that's the meat and potatoes. So it's a constant balancing act that I'm trying to keep getting better and better at so that I'm earning more money for the same amount of work that I'm putting in, raising the efficiency there as well.
Absolutely. And I've got to ask you something because I know there's going to be a lot of moms listening. So yeah. You made a tough decision to take things to 3 days a week.
Yes.
And so I think that's a phenomenal decision, but what I think is even more admirable is that your sales aren't really slowing down. You're still pushing. You're performing at a very high level. So let's talk for a second about a couple of key components that I believe any successful real estate agent must have in place in order to produce at an extremely high level the way you're doing with such a short amount of time. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's very fair.
So first things first, you obviously have an enormous amount of mental strength. Talk to me about that and where did that come from and what are some of the foundational beliefs that you believe that have you producing at the level that you're producing today?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Danny. One thing I'm blessed with is, you know, my father sold real estate in high volume my whole life. And I've never worked with him. I've worked in the same company. But, you know, I was raised through the Mike Ferry system. So I was always, you know, with us listening to my dad with books and, you know, all the mindset things, you know, growing up. So it really gave me, I'd say a step ahead when I was 18, you know, of the mindset and just being around other great agents who were reading and growing and, you know, really changing and always had their affirmations and their goals. So I got really focused on what I wanted to accomplish and, you know, really became nailed down in that. And then right before my daughter was born, my husband was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter was born very prematurely. And so she was very sick and they weren't sure she was going to make it either. And so, you know, when you're faced with those type of life-changing potential decisions, you know, one, it forces you to tap back into the mental strength that you've had and really build on that. But it also really forces you to reevaluate what's important. You know, I would work, other than Sunday when I took off to go to church, I would be working, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week. And when I realized there were so many things that I had missed simply because I wasn't being efficient at the highest level, that, you know, when those type of things happen, you can't rewind the clock.
Right.
So looking at going forward, I was like, okay, here's the second chance that we have. Let's not rewind the clock there. Let's reset it moving forward because I can do the same things and be more efficient and not have somebody else raising my child and really do both. And, you know, it's worked because I've made it work and I haven't given myself any options.
Oh, you know, you just said, Brianna, I think that's the problem. The problem. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the word options because
right.
I know that that's like the killer of everybody's dreams and goals and aspirations.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So how do you eliminate the options? I mean, I've never sat there and watched you work, but to do what you're doing in such a short amount of time, you've got to be one fierce competitor. And you've got to be one really determined and focused individual.
Oh, I am. I mean, trust me. So in the 3 days, I mean, I still have time to waste. I'm not, you know, perfect in those days by any stretch. But I think people get scared to lock themselves into one direction or one thing, you know, because they're like, if it doesn't work out, then what's my backup plan?
Right.
But if you don't have a backup plan, you know, then you're locked into it. You know, whenever you're 25 years old, you might be a widow, you might have a disabled child, you're the provider. You
right.
lock yourself into, I'm going to provide what's necessary no matter what. It's questions, you know, over.
Right.
And so when you lock yourself in like that, it forces you to become so laser focused on the ultimate goal or what's your major definite purpose as far as, you know, whether that's providing a great life for your family or building up an you know, passive income or rental empire, whatever it is.
Right.
It forces you to lock in there. And once you're locked in there, it removes you from being able to go side to side. I think people are scared that they're going to fail. And
then they don't commit all the way.
Exactly. Then they don't commit all the way. I fail every single day.
Right.
But it's learning from those failures and failing, falling forward onto your face, because then at least I made 5 foot, 10 inches of progress versus falling backwards, you know? So I just constantly look at it that way of, okay, what can I learn from the day? What did I do well? What didn't I do well? You know, what things do I love doing? And what things do I hate doing, so that those are the things that my staff does and I don't have to fool with them.
So let's talk about that, right? You've got 3 days of work. I'm a big believer in, you grab a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle. What do I like to do? What do I not like to do? Or most importantly, what is income generating and what is income servicing? What are the key things that you focus on while you're working?
I focus really on the basics. What is fueling everything to get to my end goal? You know, what is it taking? So obviously, you know, prospecting, that's non-negotiable. Lead follow up, that's non-negotiable. Pre-qualifying, that's non-negotiable. Going on listing presentations, that's non-negotiable. Calling my past client centers of influence, that's non-negotiable. You know, everything else, you know, my licensed staff can negotiate offers. I don't have to do that. They can negotiate repairs. They can process files. They can put things in. You know, so I set aside, you know, an hour a week to just touch base with clients, make sure things are going well. But all that other stuff, I just pass off to them, because that's really not getting me to where I want to go if I'm not doing one of those things.
So it's funny you mentioned this, Brianne, because my best year ever was 150 as a salesperson. And now as a brokerage, I think we'll do about 2,800 transactions this year. And I've got my eyes set on 20,000. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you will never get to the point where you've got enough momentum built to need staff, to need help, unless you're focused on some greater vision that you want to try to accomplish. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that very much. I mean, you know, honestly, I can think back to my own personal business. And one of my biggest hang-ups was waiting too long to hire my first full-time person. Mm-hmm. And I had a part-time person, you know, and that was safe. I knew I could pay him. I knew there wasn't stress. But I knew for a long time I needed a full-time person. And taking that leap, I was so scared to take it, you know. Oh my goodness, I'm so scared to have this person's salary. What if this doesn't work out? Well, wait a second. I knew it was going to work out. And it was like when I finally could look past the fear and go, you can't get to what you want if you're letting the fear hold you back.
Right.
You know, and I hired that person, and immediately my business jumped, you know, about 40 deals that year. And then it was like, okay, well, it's only been a year later, but I need a second full-time person. And, you know, I kind of thought the same thing. And then it was like, okay, duh, stop being stupid. It jumped the first time. Let's do it this time. Yeah. And so, yeah, you have to have a big picture goal. You have to be committed to it. But really, the accountability when you hire staff and you are their livelihood. I mean, they've got families to support. You don't do your job and you can't pay their paychecks. Well, that's on you. So talk about some accountability.
Yeah.
That's accountability.
Absolutely. And it's funny because a lot of people don't. It's like they say they want to succeed. And this is to all of our listeners. We're averaging right now 12 to 14,000 of you a month listening to these shows. So I hope you're hearing me right now. I know you want to succeed, because if not, you wouldn't be here listening, right? So if you're listening, there's a difference between thinking that someday you maybe want to somehow change your life and then changing your freaking life. Making it happen, right? And part of that is you stepping out into faith, stepping out into belief, and doing what Brianne says. She's telling you she was scared. She didn't know if she would be able to afford it or whatever the case may be. But first, you work through it, right? You get to a point where you make the decision, you make the hire, and then there is no looking back. And some people just don't like the pressure of that, Brianne. So talk to me about pressure and how you deal with pressure.
You know, honestly, if I don't have pressure, I don't do as well. And my personality is, you know, on the days that I am literally back to back to back all day long, I have not a second to spare. I mean, if anything doesn't go like it's supposed to, I'm going to be off schedule. Those are the days I accomplish the most. I have the best days. I have the most fun. You know, on days where I don't have appointments or I'm not scheduled back to back, you know, I find myself wasting time and I find myself, you know, not being as productive as I should be. So for me, the pressure is really key to hitting the goals because I love to have that pressure on me to constantly be pushing, constantly be figuring things out.
I love it. I love it. And you did mention, Brandy, you did mention day to day or back to back. Give me the typical day in the life of Brianne right now. What does that look like? What time do you wake up? What time do you arrive? All that good stuff.
I wake up at 4:45. You know, I just go through a little mental routine in the mornings, reviewing my goals, you know, what's important to me. I take some time for my quiet time, reviewing, you know, my affirmations and things that I'm accomplished for the day. Work out, then get ready, and then I'm typically in my office by 7:15, and that's you know, just finish preparing for my day, you know, shooting over to my staff whatever's on their list, role play. I'm on the phones typically about 7:55, 8 o'clock, prospect until noon, and including in my prospecting is my lead follow-up time. Okay. And past client calls, and then some days I will prospect till noon if I haven't hit my goal. My goal is 3 appointments set each day that I prospect.
Okay, well, time out. Because because people may even be prospecting for the sake of prospecting. They may even be doing it the same.
Contactitis,
right?
Yeah, that's a real problem.
Or hour-itis, right?
They just, hour-itis,
how
yeah.
How many hours, right? You have a goal and a belief and a mission to set 3 listing appointments a day.
Yeah.
How often do you hit that?
I would say I focus on, my goal is either 3 appointments a day or I have to set 9 for the week, you know, because I'm prospecting 3 days a week.
Right.
You know, so it's fairly common, like on Mondays where I've got a bit of more lead follow-up in there, I might set 5 or 6 on Monday, and then I might set 2 on Tuesday and 1 on Wednesday, but it always averages out to where I'm setting 3 appointments for the week. Always. Awesome. You know, I don't fall short on that. Otherwise, it's not fueled for the following
week. Right. Awesome. Okay, so keep going. What does your afternoon look like?
So my afternoon looks like, you know, roll right into, I have an hour set aside to meet with staff, any administrative work, preparing for appointments, anything that needs to be done, 30 minutes for lunch. And then I've got appointment slots at 1:30, 3 o'clock, 4:30. And then on Tuesdays, I set aside a 6 o'clock appointment. And Wednesdays, if I have to, I'll set in a 6 o'clock appointment.
Okay, fantastic. And you're home by?
I try to be home by 7.
And this is 3 days a week? So this
3
is,
days a week.
So do you, and then you're
Monday,
done?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And then you're done?
Yeah, then I'm done.
Awesome.
So Thursdays and Fridays, you know, I have my phone on me, so I'll, you know, take care of issues. And then when my daughter's napping, I'll, you know, sit down at my computer and just knock out anything important or lead follow-up calls or something that I need to, but... You know, I typically put in about an hour on those 2 days and don't have to do anything else.
You know, Brianne, it's funny. I just realized I right now am putting in 3.5 days a week. I didn't even think about it because by Thursday at 1, I'm basically done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that I'm a broker and I know that my situation is a little bit different. But what I try to tell agents is that as an agent, I put in 4.5 days a week. I was done. By Thursday afternoon, maybe I would come in for 2 hours on Fridays.
Right.
But I remember prospecting 3 hours a day. I remember lead follow-up. I never, ever touched a buyer. I would take an average of 6 to 12 listings a month, every single month. And that's what happens. You're able to have your cake and eat it too when you focused on generating listings versus working on buyers. So I've got to ask you, how many buyers do you work with and what does that look like for you?
Still about 40% of my business is buyers.
Oh, wow. Okay,
you know, it's still selling a lot of my own listings.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's working with my own sellers that have sold their house, so they're highly motivated, you know, and typically my assistant and I are able to tag team them if they don't fit it within my schedule. You know, we just take out highly motivated people. We don't take out people if we are going to work them that are just going to, you know, go look at 50 houses. You know, we're very particular on those. So, you know, typically we're not ever having to show a buyer more than 4 or 5 houses.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare that we ever have to do more than that, and sometimes it's even less than that.
Awesome. And so, yeah. I'm hearing you say you have standards for the people that you invest your time into. Is that correct?
Right. I have standards, you know, and I have to look at, you know, if a buyer wants me to work with them, you know, I know how much my time is worth per hour. So, I mean, if it still fills within that and I can still accomplish my goals, then we work with them. But if they can't, then I normally just refer them out to an agent in my office and have them work them, you know, and just coordinate that to transition over properly.
So am I hearing you saying that you don't have a team, a buyer's agent team?
No, I have two licensed staff, and, you know, they're able to step in and fill in my shoes if there's something that needs to be taken care of on Thursday or Friday, or we have a buyer that has to see a house on Thursday or Friday. One of them's able to step in, show them the house, write up the contract for me if necessary, but I don't have any buyer's agents. It's just the three of us girls.
Awesome. I love it. And why not? I mean, I know part of the reason is because our one of our mentors, Mike, is against the establishment of big teams, but why did you decide to not do that?
You know, for me, I tried it for a short period of time. You know, I tried just having an agent in my office that I referred everything to, and then I hired somebody salaried to take them on, and, you know, it just never paid off.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't converting things. They weren't as motivated to convert them. I mean, they were covering what I was paying them, but I wasn't really making any more, and it was costing me the time of managing them, and or my staff the time of, hey, did this get done? You know, did they follow up with that person? It was just annoying, and I was just like, okay, this is not for me. If we're going to work them, either I'm going to work them or I'm going to work them with my assistants. Otherwise, I'll refer them out and they, you know, just go from there.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't want to deal with it at this point in my business.
Awesome. I love it. So, Brianna, here's one thing I need your help with. I have like a deep passion for helping people to get it and helping people to really realize their true potential. Forget about business, but just in life, you know.
Right. Very passionate about that.
Very, very passionate. And, you know, I'm thinking that there's probably a young lady right now that is listening to the show, mm-hmm. that maybe just got her license, that maybe has a little daughter and knows that they want to do something great, yet their environment may not be the greatest. They may not have been surrounded or blessed with, like you, a great example, as you did with your dad and
right.
your parents, you know what I mean? Because those are obviously factors that inspired your life and
right.
the outcomes that you have. So what would you tell that person? What would you tell the person that says, that's it, I'm done, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I don't want to be like everybody else, I want to be special, I want to be amazing. What would you tell that individual?
You know, a few things that I've noticed as, you know, because that tends to be a question I get asked a lot. You know, because what I do in the time period I do it, it's not very common.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and it took me 8 years of grinding and getting a great team in place to be able to have the skills, the mindset, the ability to do that. So someone's not going to be able to step in and just immediately do high volume in a couple
right.
days. But what I find that causes so many people to fail is when they get their license, they immediately set this huge goal of, I'm going to sell 50 homes this year. Or whatever, and it's a completely unrealistic goal.
Right.
And they're already setting themselves up to fail before they ever get out the door.
Right.
You know, and then they don't really look at, okay, if my goal is, say, a sale a month, okay, what is required to make that happen? They don't ever look at putting together a system, a learning plan, you know, really figuring it out. They're just like, oh, it's gonna happen.
Right.
No, you've got to have a specific set, you know, time of, you know, when I started, I was chaining scripts an hour to 2 hours every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on the phones prospecting 4, 5, 6 hours every single day, you know. There were things that were grueling and boring, like, oh my God, boring.
Yeah.
But whenever you start to see the results, and then you start to see that, you know, those scripts are embedded in your memory, and, you know, you don't have to read them, you know, to know them. You can just stand and start chanting a script, or, you know, you can walk into a presentation with confidence, and you start to see it coming together because you've been patient with the process and you've followed the steps of a process.
Mm-hmm.
That's whenever you really start to see it. So I think it all comes back to your true commitment to learn your profession and your true commitment to your goals and having realistic goals and then starting to put that all together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then as you start to kind of taste the success, then little by little, you just kind of keep going from there. Is that correct?
Yeah, little by little, you keep going from there. And, you know, a lot of times that means growth. Sometimes that means, okay, this system is failing, you know, as far as how to handle this volume, and it's correcting that as fast as you can and then, you know, catching up again. So, I mean, it's constant tweaks as you go. Mm-hmm. It never gets to the point where it's like, oh, I never have to do anything. No, I have to prospect every day. I have to role play every day. I have to pay attention to my goals every day. You know, those basic things don't change. Mm-hmm. And you have to just be committed to, you know, in the process of achieving your goals, you're helping everyone else achieve their goals. And you're going to succeed so much faster if you've got that mindset.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Rianne, I got to tell you, this has been an awesome interview. I've got a couple of questions from people online that I happen to post something and they're asking me some questions. You mind if I take a couple of questions here?
That's just fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so I got a question from Nick Cardenas who says, how long did it take you to get to the level that you are today of only having to work 3 days?
I mean, I was kind of like you, Danny. I was I would say for the first 6 or 7 years, you know, I was really grinding. Probably starting year 7, I realized there was at least probably a day a week that I was maybe saying I was working, but, I wasn't fully there. I was goofing off, you know. And then when I became pregnant, I was very, very sick when I was pregnant, and so it really forced me to become efficient and not slow down, but try to figure out how to work that. So I would say, you know, that was, about 7.5, 8 years in. When I was able to really back down and still keep the volume up. But a big portion of that is just having the systems in place all that time, mm-hmm. And having a strong database of past clients and centers of influence that really trust you as their real estate expert, mm-hmm. So you can pull off of that database and continue to build new people as well. It's key if you want to work a limited amount of time.
Awesome. And so I did hear you say, there was a time where you worked 6 to 7 days a week, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I did as well.
Yeah. I mean, I worked all my free time. I mean, you know, I take free time out to go do something fun on a Saturday and I'd be back to work or be in the office to start the day prospecting. Awesome. I didn't take much time off.
Awesome. I love it. So this is a question from Jesse Godinez. When you first started calling expires, what did you do to keep yourself going to get that first listing appointment after being turned down over and over? How did you overcome the negativity? And I'm before answering that question, I find a lot of people have this problem that they're getting negativity from expireds, and it's kind of like you hitting a little bit of a brick wall, right?
Right.
Where I think that the strongest people, due to their skill set, their mindset, their energy, and everything, can plow through that and can get around that wall.
Right.
So I guess answer his question, but would you agree with the statement that I just said?
Oh, I absolutely agree with the statement that you said. I mean, I think you will be hard-pressed to find any agent that's actually on the phones prospecting that doesn't deal with the, certain times where they're just hitting no after no or no one's answering the phone and you're just like, really? But that's not what you focus on. You get what you think about or you get what you focus on. So, you know, if you're getting on the phones and immediately assuming everyone's going to say no, they don't need an agent, they're going to be rude,
right.
Well, that's what you find. So I just really get on the phones, you know, with the mindset of I'm going to set 3 great listing appointments. And as the phone's dialing, you know, I'm chanting, this is my first listing appointment. This is my first listing appointment. I mean, not like loud so that they hear me, you know, answer the phone, they're not going to hear me. That's what I'm saying, you know, and if I get somebody that's rude and nasty, you know, half the time I'll just laugh and go, well, clearly they didn't need my help.
Right.
You know,
right.
Next.
That's the response. I guess what I was trying to get at is that when you really realize the game that is being played, and this is Jesse, because I love you and I know you're a listener, but you don't even have time to dwell on or even realize that there's any negativity out there.
Right. Well, I mean, it's almost like our egos want us to take it personally and they have no clue who I am.
Right.
I mean, I know I've answered the phones many a times or someone's catching me in a terrible time. I'm not real nice because it's like I'm already stretched thin or got something going on. You know, so we could very well be catching somebody at that same point in time.
Yeah.
So you can't take it personally ever what they're actually saying to you.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Here's a question from Adrian Hernandez. He asks, what systems or people did you need to implement to take you to 100 plus deals? He happened to ask about staff, but you had already answered that. So anything jump out other than what you've already said? How important was your database, Brianne? Let's start there.
You know, that was actually one of my downfalls, Danny. I could have succeeded a lot faster. I was right at 100 deals my second year. You know, but the thing is I was slow to implement the staff that I needed. And so I was very young and didn't have the proper staff. You know, so I'll admit, my first 2 years, my customer service is crap.
Yeah.
And I really didn't follow up with people like I should have after I closed. You know, I was getting the deals done. I mean, that's all I was focused on. Let's just get the deals done, get the deals
right.
done. And not always focusing on, you know, each client and their needs. And if I can help them better and have a better experience at that point in time, aka have staff and
yeah.
setting up their expectations, and then following up with them, I could have built a database a lot faster than I did. So, you know, I would tell people, you know, really make sure you're under-promising and over-delivering. You know, you're really following through with what you say, but also, you know, make sure that you're quick enough to put the staff in place that you need to be able to provide that service and following up, because it can be a real crutch to you. I mean, I see a lot of business that I lost just because I wasn't willing to do that at that time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so if you could pinpoint any one system, maybe I can answer this for you. Was it less about a system and more about the tenacity and the hard work and the commitment to doing the job day in and day out? Was that the system?
That was really more the system.
That's
it was like,
right.
I'm
right.
going to do this, and Katie bar the door, no one is getting in my way. And I mean, I just bulldozed it. I mean, that was my focus.
I can tell you have that bulldoze personality. You're obviously a driver.
I am.
You're like a wolf in sheep's clothing is what you are, which is.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Yeah,
make them think they're getting a sweet, docile person, and well, they're getting a bulldog.
And then you just hit them with the reality, right? It's funny. I heard a story.
In the southern way.
In a nice southern charm way.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yes. It's funny, but I heard a story of Mother Teresa, that she would go out to people and, you know, the wealthiest people in town, she would shake your hand and, you know, the gentleman would have an expensive Rolex or something and she'd be like, oh, that's such a nice watch. I'm sure the kids could use something like this to help. Thank you so much. And Mother Teresa was a shark in sheep's clothing as well. So
right.
maybe that might be your new nickname, Brianne Teresa Llewellyn. What do you think about that?
That could work.
That might
and
work.
Mother Teresa.
I don't think
anyone would ever call me that, but
I don't
let's
think
go
so.
For it.
All right, here's another one. This is from Lisa Pimentel. How did you become efficient with your time, and where does most of your business come from?
Well, I mean, one, to hit your goals, you have to be efficient with your time. You know, I think one thing that was key. Oh, several years in, I finally got it. You know, it seems like so many times this is real estate agents try to overwork for our paychecks to compensate getting the big paychecks. And so, you know, we're doing all this busy work to try to make us feel like we earn it when, you know, we waste a lot of time doing that. But, you know, I would just say it was just the pure focus on, you know, what I wanted to achieve that pushed me to be efficient. You know, most of my business is expired for self-pay owners, past clients, centers of influence, and that's
okay.
pretty much all my business.
If you had to pick the top two, which would they be?
Expired and past clients, centers of influence.
Okay, good. Those are my pack. You know, those are my top two as well. It just never amazes me.
I mean, my market is heavy laden with self-pay, and it's, you know, just a time thing of just getting to as many of them as I should, because we've got so many expireds as well and past clients. So
yeah.
You know, I was a lot heavier for Selby owner when I was worked more just because I had more time to prospect than I do now.
Awesome. Awesome. Brianne, final thoughts. Again, the one thing that you think could have the most impact on people, whether it be mindset, skill set, time management, presentation, you know what? Forget final thoughts. Let's go to final thoughts next. I just thought about something. How strong are you on your listing presentation?
Oh, you have to be a bulldog on your listing presentation.
Yes.
I mean, that's key. I mean, that is one of the quickest ways to blow your momentum is to have a bad presentation.
Wow.
Because if you are going through the motions of prospecting daily, then you pre-qualify, you do all the work to prepare,
and then you go out time after time again,
and you're not getting listings signed.
Right.
Talk about complete momentum killers.
Awesome.
That will kill you faster than anything, because then you start to question yourself, which immediately reverts back to your mindset of while you're on the phone. Well, these people don't want, why would I want to set this appointment? These people aren't going to list with me.
Right, right.
That's not a good thing.
You know what? I'm going to end on that one then, because that was good. Because I think people really need to understand the fact that at the end of the day, we are sales professionals. We're not doctors. We're not lawyers. We're not accountants. We need to have high energy. And most importantly, on that presentation, we need to be there to get a signature. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole reason we do the entire system up to the listing presentation, is to get a signature, because you can't complete the system unless you get a signature.
One last question. I'm taking close to 300 people this year to the Superstar Retreat in Las Vegas. If you guys don't know about it, I'm going to put a little plug for my coach, MikeFerry.com. Will you be there? And if so, why should anybody else consider going?
I will absolutely be there. I have only missed one Superstar Retreat in 12 years. And it is so powerful. Not only what you learn from Mike as far as his wealth of knowledge, but oh my word, from the people that are there.
Wow,
I mean,
amazing.
At the breaks and dinners and lunches, I mean, I learn things that I take a whole notebook home, and it literally takes me 6 months to get everything implemented and working the way that I want that I learn at each retreat. So, and every retreat, you're at a different phase in your business and really looking for something different. So, I mean, my thing I've said to Mike many a times is, Mike, you could preach the exact same material every single retreat, and I would get something completely different out of it, because I am at a different point. So you can never get to enough of those events, because you will grow every single time.
I love it, Brianne Llewellyn. Thank you so much for being here. Guys, that is a wrap. That is episode number 17. I think we could have talked for another hour, because there's just so much to talk about. But I want to respect Brianne's time. I know she has a beautiful baby girl to get to. How can people get a hold of you?
Email is the best way to get a hold of me. Email address is soldbybrianne, and that is BRENN@gmail.com.
Awesome. And do you have Facebook or Instagram or any of that stuff?
I am on Facebook. You can find me with the Brianne Llewellyn team on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page as well.
Awesome. And I'm going to go ahead and post the link to her Facebook page on the show notes in case you have any referrals in the Oklahoma City area.
Yes, send them on
get
over.
Get them to her, and they will be taken care of. Sounds good?
Yes, I'll love to take care of them.
Awesome, everybody. Episode 17 is a wrap. My apologies for not posting one earlier last week. I was in Cabo, as you can tell by my ridiculous tan. For those of you watching this on YouTube, be here next week for episode number 18, where it'll just be this time, you and I talking about another breakthrough principle. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.